Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter number 9 this evening. Continuing our answers to questions theme in Genesis chapter number 9. I'm going to answer another question that was asked and do my best to answer this. I don't know how you feel about this. There have been, for years, a great debate in our country on this matter. For years, unfortunately, there's been a great debate in churches on this matter. There are very persuasive arguments on both sides. It's been debated in courts, newspapers, pulpits. And I'm not here tonight to get into a debate with either side. I am here to say, what does God's Word say about it? That's all that should matter. Amen? What does God's Word say about it? For the Christian, the Bible should settle the issue once and for all. Amen. This question was asked to me. We're going to look at it. And I believe it's important, and if you'll stay with me to enter the message, I think you'll understand why. But the question was this: is the death penalty scriptural? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is the death penalty scriptural? It's been debated. It's been argued. Churches have different stands from pulpits. We're going to look at it tonight in Genesis chapter number 9. Look at verse number 5 with me. Noah had just gone out of the ark. God was making his covenant with Noah. In verse number 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Verse number 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Let's pray, and we're going to look at this topic tonight. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking at your Word. Your Word is truth. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'd open our eyes to see these things and help us to know and understand and give us understanding hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. We're going to be asked this question, and we, scripturally speaking, are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a question, the reason, the hope that's in us. We need to have an answer. Here's the bottom line. We as Christians all ought to have the same answer on this. Amen. We all ought to have the same answer. Now, I know there are many governments out there and many peoples out there that have outlawed capital punishment. There are some countries on the other side that use it a little too liberally. What does God's Word say about it? Again, I say this. I've heard very persuasive arguments for both sides. But persuasive arguments shouldn't matter at all. We got to put all that behind us and say, what does God's Word say about it? To kill is basically to cause someone to die, to put them to death. One of the Ten Commandments, of course, is in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. That word kill is the Hebrew word, which I can't ever pronounce these things, but rachsak, which is the word murderer. Now, there is a difference in the Bible between murderer and slayer. Now, there is a difference. So what do you mean? Look over in the book of Numbers, chapter number 35. And please use our Bibles. Write these notes down. That's why there's an insert in the bulletin. Numbers, chapter number 35. Numbers, chapter 35, and in verse number 16. And I would hope and pray that I haven't even said a statement yet about it, but whatever prejudice you have towards capital punishment, that you put it behind you, and let's take a fresh look at what God's Word says about it. In Numbers 35 and in verse number 16, and if you smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Now look at verse number 11 in the same chapter. Then you shall appoint your cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. You see, there's two different things. There's a murderer who purposely takes some type of instrument or weapon, or with their bare hands, and kills someone with the intent of killing them. Or a slayer, verse number 11, that kills a person at unawares. That word unawares means accidentally. Those things happen too. Now, there is a difference, and God treats those things differently. And we'll get into some of that in just a little bit. But there are four occasions in the Bible, and if you want to jot these down, there are four occasions in the Bible when killing is not murder. So what are those? First of all, let's read verse number 11. Let's read verse 21 of the same chapter. Verse 21. Or an enmity smites him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he's a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to his judgments. Now, first of all, there is an accidental death. There are times, especially in those days, and so today, when there are accidental deaths. Maybe, like they just said, the illustration they used, someone was moving a great stone, maybe cast it off the side of a building or the side of a cliff or something, moving it and whatever they were doing, and didn't realize there was someone underneath that. And accidentally, it wasn't his enemy. There was no thought ahead of time to do that. Accidents happen. Say, what's that in today's world? Driving a car down the road, an accident happens. Cleaning a gun, and an accident happens. Accidents happen. That's not murder. And God doesn't require the penalty for murder on those cases. There are accidental deaths. There is this. Look over at Exodus chapter number 22. Another type of killing that's not murder. In Exodus chapter number 22. Exodus chapter number 22, verse number 2. Exodus 22 and verse number 2. If a thief be found breaking up, or if we were to use that today, we'd say breaking in, and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now what's that saying? Second reason, when killing is not murder, is in self-defense. That man was breaking in, was coming in to do harm, and in defending themselves and their property, that person was smitten. He was not, there in verse number 2, no blood shall be shed for him. That's not murder. God makes it clear. Self-defense is not murder. That's why, if you break into my house in the middle of the night and have a mask on and say you're going to harm me or my family or even my dog, you're not going to get very far. I've got 38 reasons why, 22 reasons why, 410 reasons why, 12 gauge reason why. I got all kinds of reasons why, 45 reasons why. You're not going to do that. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying this. It's not murder to defend yourself. God said you ought to defend yourself. Now, there are laws of the land, and I'm telling you to go by the laws of the land. But even the laws of the land, if you're defending yourself, it's not murder. A third reason why killing is not murder. Look in Romans chapter 13. New Testament. Romans chapter number 13. Romans 13 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1 says this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and then thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Number three, a third reason why killing is not murder is when it is in the form of military service or law enforcement. God has given to the government, as you read there in verse number 4, the sword. The power that be, that God has ordained, has been given the sword. A sword is an instrument for one purpose. A sword is used for killing and slaying. And God has given, so I say, to military and to law enforcement. That's what burns me up sometimes. You hear these stories about policemen who are trying to do their job and someone's running or shooting at them or acting like they're going to shoot at them, and a policeman does what he ought to do and he gets in trouble for it. That's not right. It's not murder in those cases. Our servicemen who will defend our liberties and fight for our freedoms and defend our country, that's not murder. It's ordained of God. They are given the sword. Now, I will say this because this is a good place to say this. The government and the authority was given a sword by God, not a spoon. It's not the government's job to baby feed every one of us and to take care of our every little need and to change our diapers and to do everything for us. The government should have one purpose ordained of God, and our founding fathers understood this, to defend us, to protect these borders, to protect these people. Amen. So who's supposed to take care of us? We're supposed to take care of us. Amen. You say, but there's people that won't take care of themselves. If we quit taking care of them, they'll learn to take care of themselves. Amen. Now, that's not popular today, and I could even get in trouble for saying it, but that's Bible. God gave the government the sword. Amen. God gave the government the sword, so military service and law enforcement. That is not murder. I'll give you one more. Back to our text, because we need to stay here a second. In Genesis chapter number 9 again. Genesis chapter number 9. So when is killing not murder? Accidental deaths. Self-defense, military service, law enforcement, and then also, in this case that was asked, capital punishment. In Genesis chapter number 9, again in verse number 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now, understand this, a couple points. This was given before the law. Moses had not received the law yet. Some will argue in church pulpits that, well, that was part of the law. This is not part of the law. The law is not going to be given for another 800 years. You follow me? This is before the law. Matter of fact, if you study this passage of Scripture, before this time, there was no type of government. Before this time, man did whatever man wanted to. And do you know, without God's institution of government to enforce right and wrong, without that being established, do you know what happened to man? They got more wicked than our world has ever seen until the time of Christ in the days of Noah. They grew wicked in a short amount of time, such wickedness not to be compared with until the end times. There were men like you remember Cain's son, one of his sons, Nimrod, I believe it was, or he went and he slew a man. And he boasted about it. He was happy about it. He went about sharing how he had slain a man. Everybody stared at me really weird. Turn back. Let's find it. I don't have it written down. We can find this pretty easy, though. Look back in Genesis. Chapter. What is it? Chapter 5. Genesis chapter number 5. You say 28. Verse number 28. Thank you, sir. What is it? Why do you want to do that to me? Man, you're going to get in trouble doing that stuff. Lamech, verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilpah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, 70 and sevenfold. Any type of punishment? No. Matter of fact, he was gloating about what he did. See that? He was bragging about what he did. Man became so wicked that God destroyed everything with a flood. Now in chapter number 9, after the flood, Noah comes forth from the ark and God is making a covenant with him. God is making a covenant with Noah, and in doing so, he establishes this brand new institution called government. In verse number 6, it says, whoso sheddeth man's blood by man. Now God had done taking care of that before. Now he is passing on that authority to man. By man shall the man's blood be shed. God passed that authority on to the man. The reason given there, for in the image of God made he man. Government was put into action here, bearing the sword the way that God intended. And man would make this and call that and pursue that. Now in the Old Testament, in the law, 800 years later, yes, and we'll talk about it a little bit, God also again said that it was right. But under the law, there were other things that were worthy of capital punishment. I'll just throw these at you. In Leviticus chapter number 24, there murder was. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 2, idolatry was. In Leviticus chapter 20 verse number 27, witchcraft was. Also in there in Leviticus, adultery was, sodomy was, bestiality was, rape was, blasphemy was. All those things were capital punishment crimes. Now, the law, when it was done away with, Christ fulfilled the law, those things are not into effect. But before that, there was this, in Genesis chapter number 9, when God instituted government, he said, here's principle number 1. This area of capital punishment. God sets us up with man with the authority to bear the sword. Now, murder is a very horrible crime. And I believe, now listen real close. I believe because of television, because of the shows that are on today, because of movies, because of bad music, that murder and killing, this would be quite the news in a newspaper, murder and killing is not quite taken as serious as God looks at it. Matter of fact, most will sit and love watching a show about trying to solve with all the blood and guts laying on the ground. We eat that stuff up. We don't take murder. There were 6 murders, was it last week in Cincinnati? That's a most horrible crime. You say, why is that such a terrible crime? Well, number one, because of the finality in murder. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. The finality in murder. See, what do you mean, finality? I mean this. When someone is killed, when someone is murdered, it cuts off their life and seals their eternal destiny. Murder is a terrible crime because, second reason, Matthew chapter 16, the value of a soul. Said it this morning, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's many different crimes out there, a lot of theft and things. God says you could steal everything in the entire world. And that's not to be compared to the value of one soul. And murder seals the destiny of that soul. It's murder also, and it's just such a terrible crime because of what man is. Man was created, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, and our text, in the image of God. Man's not an animal. It's created in the image of God. Man has an eternal soul that's going to live forever. In Numbers chapter number 35, you don't have to turn there, but in Numbers chapter 35 and verse number 33, murder defiles a land. when murder runs rampant in a land, God's hand of blessing is pulled away from that land. Obvious reasons, because the murder's going on. But God takes the crime seriously. Now some people, let's be honest, they'll look at what I'm saying tonight and say it's barbaric. You'll hear that. Especially if someone doesn't believe that and they're going to ask you the question. They'll say, well, that's barbaric. How can you believe that? You know, you could go back in almost every other law institution that there are in the history of law. And to be quite honest, what I'm preaching tonight is minuscule to what some countries have done. You take England. England was at its zenith in law. It's law time. Whenever it was, you know, William Blackstone. Anybody heard of Sir William Blackstone? Commentaries on the Laws of England. He's the one that kind of established a lot of our laws are based upon. If you ever take law in this country, you're going to study his books constantly. They're the foundation of English law. Did you know under his law, in the 1700s, there were over 160 crimes that demanded capital punishment? Such as what? Murder. And if you cut down the mound that destroys somebody's fishing pond. And if you cut down a cherry tree in someone's orchard. And if you stole the handkerchief of a woman. Those were all capital punishment in the 1700s. Now, I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about what God says. Now, you won't get argued, that's barbaric. Yeah, you could argue that. But what God says, because man is created in the image of God, to take that life and to attack that being is worthy of capital punishment. So, here's the bottom line. What does God say about it? Jot these things down, just a few things. Number one, God instituted the death penalty. And I know I've already established this, but let's go over it one more time. In Genesis 9 and verse number 6, God instituted the death penalty. There in verse number 6 it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Now I want you to get a very important principle here that a lot of people forget. God said those words, not a man. Those were God's words. Man will argue, but here's the bottom line. Can man claim to know more than God? In no way. Is there any man upon the face of the earth who knows what's best for human race above God? I think we all can agree with this answer. No. And God's words, whereby man shall his blood be shed. The principles of this. Now, I know some people think, I already believe this, so you're going to turn this off. I want you to stay with me because this is very important. In Genesis, the principle of this was laid down. Turn back to chapter number 2. There in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse number 17. Genesis 2 and in verse number 17 says this. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely want." Now, that's the principles being laid down here. Now, I know a spiritual death is being talked about there, but it was more than a spiritual death. When they broke God's law there, their body, which would not have done so otherwise, began to die. The death curse was passed down upon that. God instituted the death penalty. It was carried on in the law of Moses. In Exodus chapter number 21, if you want to turn there just a few pages over. In Exodus chapter number 21, when God was given the law, this was also included. In Genesis chapter 21 and in verse number 12, it says this. The law has been given. This is part of it. Genesis 21, verse 12. "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be what? Shall be what? Surely put to death." This, God says, is what needs to be done. Now, everybody look at me real quick, because I have a feeling there's some, I feel it. Some, you don't like this. So how do you know? God's Spirit just does that when you're preaching. I know. I'm not trying to show my way over yours. I'm asking everyone to just look at what God says. And God used the word, surely, put to death. God continued this, and we could go on and on in the Old Testament scriptures. I could give you passages of scripture in chapter 21, verse number 12, verse number 14, verse number 15, verse number 17, Leviticus 24 and verse number 17, Numbers chapter 35, verses 16 through 18, Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse number 7, and I could go on and on and on when God over and over and over again said that when a man takes another man's life, his blood should be shed, his life shall be taken. God continued the death penalty. Remember whenever God told Joshua to execute Achan, when Achan disobeyed in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 15. God executed the death penalty himself with an entire generation in the times of Noah, an entire city in Sodom, Ananias in the New Testament when he lied to God, Herod in Acts chapter number 12. God instituted the death penalty. Number two, God instructed human government to exercise the death penalty. God instructed human government to exercise the death penalty. Now we keep kind of hanging out there. Go back one more time in Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis 9 and in verse number 6 again. It says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man." Genesis 9, 7. "And you be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein." And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, with the fowl of the cattle, of every beast of the earth, and with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of my covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." These instructions and this covenant that God was making with Noah here in Genesis chapter number 9 for perpetual generations, this was to be carried on from here all throughout this earth's time, including the instructions that he gave in chapter 9 and verse number 6, the same chapter, that man was given, the government was established with that sword. Here the Lord instituted human government and gave it the sword and passed it on in a covenant to all generations. Now in verse number 6, God gives us the reason why this is such a heinous crime. Because in verse number 6, "For in the image of God made he man." Image of God made he man. Now, I want you to see a couple of verses in the New Testament. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and in verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 11 and in verse number 7. First Corinthians 11 and verse number 7 says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God." Over in the book of James, chapter number 3. Book of James, chapter number 3. And in verse number 9. James chapter 3 and in verse number 9. Says James 3, 9. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude," or the likeness, "of God." Man was made in the image of God. Now there was laws back even in the times of England with the king, and I'll read you a law that kind of gives the same idea of what I believe the Lord is talking about. This is not talking about murder. It's talking about an actual image of the king at that time. It says there, "To deface the king's image is a sort of treason, implying a hatred against him, and that if he were within reach, he would be served in the same manner." Now that was talking about, in the times of England, someone doing something to an image of the king. Because the idea there is this, if they would do that to the king's image, what they're saying is they'd like to do that to the king himself. Right? God says you are not to murder. And if you do, it's worthy of death because man was made in the image of God. To strike man is man saying that if I could, I'd do it to God. Now you say, I don't think anybody feels that way. Well, the reality is this. You have taken, if you murder someone, which I hope no one does, you have taken that life into your own hands. That's God's business, not yours. You are placing yourself in the act of God. To defy the king's image, how much more is it to destroy, to curse, to oppress the image of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Number one, God instituted. Number two, God instructed human government to carry it out. I could go to Romans chapter 13 again and go over the sword, but I've already done that. Number three, God has not invalidated the death penalty. Say, what do you mean by that? He never once in His Word said it should be changed. He never once said to touch it or change it. Of course, the law in the Old Testament carried it on. In the New Testament, it's not invalidated. Some will say, well, Jesus came and He fulfilled the law. He did. But I take you again that this institution of this of capital punishment was before the law, 800 years prior. In the time of the Romans, Jesus, He Himself, though unjustly, faced the death penalty. Had it been wrong for a death penalty, don't you think someone, the Lord Himself, would have pointed it out? The repenting thief on the cross said this, recorded in God's Word in Luke chapter 23. Remember the repenting thief? He looked at the other thief and said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" But listen what the thief said. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Well, that's recorded in Scripture. Never once pointed out otherwise. The Apostle Paul, when he stood before trial, listen closely to his words in Acts chapter 25 and in verse number 11. Paul said this, "If I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." So what are you saying? They recognize the institution of the death penalty. They recognized that it was there. And if God's Word repeatedly shows it being there and God's men pointing it out and never once condemning it, never once saying it's wrong, do not we think that if God thought it was wrong, He would have pointed out in these instances? In Romans 13 again, the sword was given to government. In 1 Timothy 1 verses 8 and 9, the death penalty is talked about for murderers and manslayers. Even in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 10, here's a quote, it says this, "He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword." Revelation 13, 10. This to think about. Jesus faced the death penalty. John the Baptist faced the death penalty. Stephen faced the death penalty. James faced the death penalty. All these men of God were put to death. If it were contrary to what God thought, obviously there is pointed out that these men did nothing wrong. But it is never pointed out that the death penalty is an error. That it is wrong. It was instituted by God. It was instructed to government. It was never invalidated. And number four, and I hope you stayed with me. Number four, it's important to salvation. Jesus' death was unjust. Everybody, please give me your thoughts. if there were no such thing as the death penalty, Jesus would not have died that day, and we would have no salvation today. He died for our sins. There was a death penalty. The Bible says He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He had to die for justice to be done. You and I are sinners. And the wages of sin is what? We deserve to die. But of course, on that cross, truth and mercy were both satisfied. If there had been no death penalty at the time of the cross, there'd be no salvation for sinners today. And speaking eternally, if you're unsaved today, there's something far greater than a physical death penalty. There is the second death, which the Bible points out is the lake of fire. You see, I'm not glad that on this earth there's a death penalty. Many people will say, well, why should their life be taken? Isn't that just more killing? I know I've heard every argument. I know I've heard a lot of persuasive things. I understand that probably in a group this large, there are some that don't agree with what I said tonight. But if you can, show me anything where I have contradicted this book, I'll publicly change our stand. But God's Word from Genesis to Revelation upholds the death penalty. The problem is our society has weakened us. Our society has guilted us. And what you do not understand is that we don't take God serious enough, because murder is murder because it is slaying the image of God. That's what Genesis 9 says. The devil wants to blind even Christians' eyes to it. Because if we can get away with the such thing that there is no death penalty, and that becomes commonplace and totally removed from our vocabulary, no death penalty, then you go try knocking on a door and telling somebody the truth about eternity. And tell them that there is an eternal death, a penalty for their sins. And they'll look at you and nod their head. You remove that, ask the times of Noah. When the government doesn't do its responsibility in bearing the sword, wickedness runs rampant. If the Lord tarries His coming, there will be a day when this country ends up changing its stand on it. Many states have already done so. You mark this preacher's words, that based upon the pattern in God's Word and the truth of God's Word, that when man goes away from God's purpose for government, wickedness will run more wild. You know why? One of the reasons why this country is spiraling the way it is? Because we're turning our back on the ways of God. There are some, and I know this, you may have met somebody or know someone who killed someone. And they got their life straightened out. And they're doing decent. I'm not going behind you and telling you that I wish they were dead. Because God is in control, and He can handle those things. But I'm telling you this, that according to the Word of God, God's law says that there's a penalty for murder. And that law should be upheld. It hurts, but folks, sin hurts. That's what sin does. I hate sin. I hate covering topics like this because some people could get very frustrated and get very divisive over it. There's no need for that. Study the Scriptures. I'm not walking around pointing out people saying, slay them. That's not my call. But I am a preacher of the Word of God. The Word of God from cover to cover holds and upholds the principle of capital punishment. And it's important because the doctrine of salvation, capital punishment runs right through it. And the takeaway from that is to take away from the doctrine of Christ. And to take away from the doctrine of Christ is a crime that we as Christians can have no fellowship with. And I'd encourage you to think on these things, study these things, and realize what God's Word says about them. They were made in the image of God. And God said, he that slays man, by man shall his blood be shed. In the New Testament, in many cases, the death penalty is enacted. And in no cases does God say it's wrong. In no cases does God say that he's changed that. And may we uphold the Word of God too. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this time.